Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today I have on my friend. I call her my favorite numerologist because she is so interesting. This is actually her third time on the show. So welcome back, Felicia Bender.
It is so exciting to be back, and mid-year. That's fun as well.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was looking back to see what we did last time. And I've had you on at the very beginning of the year before, and then I had you on mid-year. And I loved having you on mid-year because, or maybe it was even more kind of towards like fall, actually, I think it was. But that's fun because I love once you get to look at things when you're in it and see how that energy is showing up. So last week, I actually met with my feng shui master. Actually, we talked about the Chinese astrology side of this year and how things are showing up in that aspect. And so all of a sudden, I'm like super into observing the energy because we're in it now. And this is fun for me to see. So for people that don't know who you are, tell them who you are. Tell them a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, okay. So I am Felicia Bender, and I call myself the practical numerologist because I love all of these tools, all of these modalities, these spiritual practices, and yet I am kind of a pragmatic kind of gal, and if you can't use it feet on the ground, I'm not truly totally interested. So that's why I really like to take these tools and bring them down into the practicality of, okay, that's all well and good. So how do I use it, right? How do I use it to make my life better? And so I've been using numerology and practicing numerology for, I don't know how long now. It's been well over a decade, closer to 15 years, I think. And so I love using this tool. Those people who might not know what numerology is, it's really funny because whenever I am asked when I'm out in social situations, well, what do you do? And I say I'm a numerologist. Literally 9 times out of 10 people think I'm saying I'm a neurologist. I just had that happen the other day. Okay. And they start talking about brain tumors and things. And I'm I'm like, okay, no. We gotta backtrack here. So for those of you who are listening, you're like, yeah, I don't know what numerology is. And furthermore, it kind of scares me, or it leaves a bad taste in my mouth because I hate math, right? Because so many people think about numbers and they think about math. And it basically is not about math. And the cosmic joke is that I actually despise math more than anything on the planet. And so it's kind of a cosmic joke that I do this. So to me, numerology certainly is not math. It's actually a language. And so the type that I practice comes from Pythagoras. If anyone was paying attention in math class, the Pythagorean theorem of geometry, same guy, mystic, all kinds of other things. He had this mystery school basically in Greece. But flash forward, basically numerology is the art and science, or the idea that numbers carry with them not only a quantitative value, right? We count with numbers, but they carry with them vibration, frequency. And with that, they carry information and data. And we can willingly suspend our disbelief in our technological world that we're in now, because everything is technology, dots and dashes, zeros and ones. I don't even know what we call AI. What is that? Now we're stretching into things in an accelerated way. And yet basically numerology posits this idea that there is code, there is meaning, there is in numbers that we can use to understand ourselves, to understand the universe, all of those things. What I like the most about it is to take it from the macrocosmic to the microcosmic. I love working with people. I love understanding what makes us tick. And you listen to anyone who talks about having a gratifying, satisfying life, it has to do with having a sense of purpose. Anyone will tell you that at this point. That's kind of the bottom line. And to me, that's what numerology allows us to see. We use your name as it appears on your birth certificate, and we use your date of birth. And with those two points of information about each of us, we can run an entire chart, kind of like an astrology chart, where we can look and see all this information. It's like a blueprint. GPS, whatever metaphor you would like to use, it can offer you a really complete picture about why you're here, what you checked in to do, what you're learning, what you're growing into, how you're going to do that, what speaks to your heart and soul, some challenges, obstacles along the way, gives you an idea about cycles of time that you will go through and what you're learning during that process. It can really give you some amazing insight into where you are, where you've been, and where you're going.
Yes, that's all. It can just
do that's it.
That's so awesome. I love it. It's so fascinating to me, numerology. And it really is. There's so many tools out there to understand the energetic codes that you came with into the planet. And I think that they're all fascinating and interesting. Numerology to me is definitely like one of my faves. I love how you call yourself the practical numerologist. I'm like, that's why I love talking to her so much, is you're so easy to understand. You're practical. You know, so many times some people in the spiritual world or people that study energy, they're too out there for me. And I'm like, huh? I don't understand. What are you saying? Speak to me in my terms, or, you know, in layman's terms. So I love that about you. You do have that ability to really just make it simple for us to understand. So I appreciate that about you.
Well, I hope so. And yet, you know, even you, Jen, can get as woo-woo as the rest of us, you know, and I can as well. I can go different places on that realm. And yet I do feel like what you're saying is exactly what matters to me when I'm looking for these tools. I want to know, again, I want to use it. I want to use it in my daily life.
Yeah, I remember my sister used to come home from the hospital, and she's a nurse, and she would start talking in nursing terms. And I'd be like, hello, English, please. For the rest of us, I don't understand what you're saying. So so let's talk about this year. I was wondering what this year would be like for people. I'm able to see patterns just based on what I do on a day-to-day life. I see behind people's doors. I see what's going on in their relationships, what's happening in their families, what's happening in their own healing journey. And boy, this year it's a big year of change for people. So
how would you characterize it in terms of if you had to come up with, you know, 1 to 3 overarching thematics, what are you seeing for this year?
Oh man, I'm seeing huge awakenings, things that people have been, well, okay. You want me to leave it to 3 words? Okay. Let me try that. Okay. Awakenings. Cause you said 3 words, right? 3 themes.
Well, or 3 themes. It doesn't have to be one word. If you want to do 1 word, that's pretty phenomenal, but,
awakenings, yeah. Definitely, like I would say deep healing from the past. Mm-hmm. Things that have been there all along, but people never saw them, and now they're being forced to see them. A lot of relationship stuff, like breakups or things like on the verge, or, you know, people really coming to that crossroads of, you better like make some changes or we can't go on.
Yeah.
Definitely seeing that. Also, a lot of family stuff, like with people going through losses in their family or big health issues that have been shockers for families thrown in. I mean, this is in fact, as I'm saying this, I'm like, wow, this, a lot of this is in my own family, you know, that I've experienced myself. So it's not wow. just my clients, but yeah, my father passed away in January, right out the gate in this year. And then after that, my sister, immediately after that, my sister, who's not very old, had a lot of health stuff. She was in the hospital for a long time. And we went from literally focusing on my dad and getting through the funeral to all the focus then went on our sister and us, you know, sending her prayers and vibes and support. And so, yeah, it's been a big year for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's put it into a little numerology petri dish. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah. Which is this year. So in numerology, we look at several points of departure in terms of, again, cycles of time. So the universal year is as it sounds. It is numerologically indicates what all of us globally, you know, universally are experiencing. Again, as a global community. And this is a very easy calculation. We simply take the year, so it's 2023, and we add those four numbers together. 2 + 0 + 2 + 3 = 7. So we are in a number 7 universal year, all of us. So what does that mean? Numerologically, the 7, when it shows up as a cycle of time, it is a pausing period. It is set up for deep, and I mean deep, rather profound, somewhat DNA changing spiritual and or personal growth. And it comes from really asking the deeper, darker questions. In therapeutic terms, it is a year of shadow work. Really, 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 for all of us, again, globally. So we start looking at what's showing up in our global community, what is coming up politically, you know, because that's not always the same, right? Sometimes we have very different aspects that we're working on as a global community. Right now, we happen to have some wars going on, right? We happen to have a lot of political underpinnings. We've got, I mean, I could go on and on about all of that, but we can start placing it in the context of the universal energy with the 7. It's about research. It's about R&D, right? It's about organizing. It's about really stepping back and asking why. Why are we in this situation? Why are we responding the way we are? It's not only about asking the questions why, but it's almost in a deeper way, really even looking at the questions that are being asked. Are we even asking the right questions? I have a PhD, and it's funny because when we were deciding on our research and all of that, one of the things you learn is that basically the question you ask presupposes the answer. You know, depending on how you ask the question depends on, so many times people will have the answer. And so then they'll kind of back into the question, right? Rather than actually being curious and asking a question and really exploring the pathway to an answer. I know this is sounding a little bit Yoda-ish, but that is really the energy of the 7. It is getting down and dirty with that. It is a time where it's not about action. It is about contemplation. It's about processing, probing, and digesting. And to me, it's also bridging science and spirit. It's about understanding that both can commingle and coexist, and the highest levels of science actually benefit from the merging of these other modalities, the things that may not be as quantifiable, and yet they're becoming more quantifiable. Does that make sense at all? I know I'm kind of going off on a little bit of a 7-ish rant. And I mean that, though, the 7 is more about those quandaries. Mm-hmm. You know, chewing on the intricacies of it all and really digging deep. So There is a numerologist. Her name is Dr. Juno Jordan. She's passed on. And yet she says something about the seven as when it shows up as a cycle that I love because it's so simple. And yet for you go, oh, that's simple. That's kind of stupid. And then you go, oh, wait a minute. That's a little. So she says that when you're in a seven cycle, as we are universally, all of us, it is a year to develop the right state of mind. Hmm. Oh, well, that sounds simple until you start really, really looking at it. So it's exactly what you're mentioning with what you're seeing as themes mm-hmm. with people's lives right now. It's what is the right state of mind? It's that aspect of looking at all of us, you know, the spiritual teachers who were talking about being present. It's all about what you're thinking constantly is creating your own reality. Mm-hmm. And it really, really brings that energy up to the forefront. And so to me, it is universally, globally, a very intense time for people to begin to uncover and unearth those, like what you were saying, the trauma mm-hmm. or the dysfunction or the thoughts and the ways of being that simply don't apply anymore. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the seven. I mean, the seven is a time, again, the beauty of it is it's a lot, I would think, globally. Again, there's a lot of research and development going on with new technologies, with different ideas, different aspects that will be hopefully fine-tuned and then brought into the world maybe a little more significantly starting next year. Next year is more of a launch pad. This year is more about getting it fine-tuned, I guess is a good way of putting it. Yeah. So, and at the end of the day, it's about taking time. Again, health concerns are one of the big things that can happen in a seven cycle, just asking you to tap in and tune in more with your needs. And often the health needs come in as a spiritual crisis mm-hmm. that leads you even more deeply into your true nature. Your true spiritual nature. I know this sounds so heavy, doesn't it? Usually I'm a little more lighter and more buoyant, but
no, it's, I mean, it's real, it's true. And it's really, I'm sure, resonating with people because yeah. that's what's here. And I love healings. I love awakenings. When you said it's a year to, I think you said cultivate the right state of mind. That sounds like, oh, that's awesome. But you're right. Once you get into the thick of it, it's like, you know, awakenings, healing, cultivating that state of mind and really digging deep and pulling up that trauma and facing it and letting it go and all of that. Man, it's hard. It is hard.
One of the kernels that I find very significant about a seven cycle is it can really pull on our feelings of being victims. Mm. It can really pull on, well, that's not my fault. And this happened to me. And why did that happen that way? And that was bad. And this is not fair. And all of those ways in which we place ourselves as the victim, as like that helpless, you know, helpless yeah. victim of other actions. And really the seven is calling us into taking responsibility for everything mm. that we experience. Which is not to, you know, some people would recoil. Well, this, you know, this horrible thing I had, you know, someone, I don't know what example could we use? You know, someone was in a horrible car accident, let's say. I'm not saying it's your fault. And yet, you know, that's not the point of taking responsibility. It's not saying you, you know, called that in or whatever. And yet maybe you did on some level in terms of needing to really, really have a reason to slow down and really take a look
yeah.
at certain things and certain aspects of life and not be given the opportunity to simply be on autopilot.
Right. Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, now that I think about this, Felicia, like with the seven universal year, I want you to speak to the personal year. And then the, like, how does that show up for people? And then like the micro and macro scale, how does that show up? Because it's going to be different, right? Of what's happening the seven for me personally within my four walls, and then also looking at it, putting that template on the macro scale as far as what's happening in the world.
Yes.
And let's then you also have your personal year that comes in as well. Man, I think about those people that are in a 7-7 this year, like personal year 7, and then the universal year 7, because you know what's interesting? When I was in my personal year 7, my mom passed away. And now I'm in the universal year 7 and my dad passed away. That's interesting.
That is. Mm-hmm. That's where numerology becomes really beautiful and fascinating and informative on a very personal level. Mm-hmm. Because you could read anyone's chart and go, well, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And yet for you to notice that is a really beautiful detail for you that can give you your sense of, to me, I would read that as that the death of both of your parents. Mm-hmm. has been a very, very pivotal time for you personally to do some really deep healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a very simplistic way of saying it. And yet that's what I would say just on a very simple level. So let's look at that as succinctly as we can. So let's think of the universal year as what we're all, that umbrella energy that we're all experiencing. So it's a little bit more, you know, it's a bigger playing field, right? And so now let's look at what is our more immediate energy that affects us even more personally on our day-to-day during a given year. And it's called the personal year. So do you mind if I just use your birth month and birthday? Because that's sure. all we need for the personal yeah. year. So those of you listening, if you want to you know, calculate yours, it's a very simple calculation. You take your month of birth, your day of birth, and then the current year. So if you, and if, you know, a little sidebar, if you think, oh man, you know, 2005 was a really pivotal year for me, I wonder what it was, then use 2005 and you'll get the personal year for that year. Right. So you can, you know, you can plug it in that way. It's really fun. If you, when I first started learning numerology and this was speaking to me and I was just devouring it, I did my whole life. And all of the personal years. And it was fascinating to me how exquisitely accurate it is. And that all of these punctuation marks in our lives often reside in the transition points between the 9 and the 1, because the personal years are, numerologically speaking, 9-year cycles that we experience from birth to death. So to me, I kind of like it. I like to consider it like knowing the theme to your party, right? Because it's a lot more fun that way, first of all. And second of all, it really is a good way of looking at it, because you don't want to show up at the wrong party in the wrong outfit, right? For an entire year. And we often think erroneously that every year is the same, right? We just, the same opportunities, it's just what we make of it. Well, with numerology, that really isn't true. We have energy that is supporting us during a year, and often we'll feel it. And yet when we can put it into words, because the words have power there, we can put some parameters around it and a framework there, we can really make the most of the energy that is there to support us. And then we can also understand what's not being supported, the challenges or the, you know, caveats that might come in with that. So with that said, if we look to do this calculation, you were born on March 11th. So March is a 3. That is just a 3. All right. So you would put a 3 down there for March. The 11th is actually considered a master number. So if you're born on the 11th, or if you're born on the 22nd, those would not be reduced. So we'll just keep that as an 11. We could get more in a deep dive, but for this example, we don't need to. Just know that in this case, it is an 11. And then 2023 is a 7. All right. So if we take 11 plus 3, that is 14, plus 7 is, do the math. Can you do this? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. We still have to do that. And then we're always reducing to a one digit number, and 2 + 1 = 3. So you happen to be in a 3 personal year. 3 years ago, you were in a significant transition, dare I say. And so that was a transition point. Yet. So let's start with that number 3. Your 3 personal year is a year for self-improvement. I like to even step back and go, you know, self-improvement isn't a really good way to me, for me, to really say that, because it kind of means that there's something wrong, right? There's something that needs to be improved upon. It kind of just doesn't feel as good. What it really means to me is that the 3 comes in and it blows in the door and it says, all right, this is your year, baby, where you are going to really step in back into your authentic nature, where depending on where you are in your life, you're going to be sandblasting off that gook that has been splattered in the spokes of your authenticity. And we all know how that is from birth. You know, everyone's there to tell you who you are and who you aren't. And the last person you're usually listening to is yourself with that. So yeah, it's really a year to walk that walk and talk that talk. Overarchingly, it is a year to get social, to have more fun, to be lighter and airier, to laugh a lot. It is a time to infuse every kind of creative energy that you have into whatever it is you're doing. And you will feel that way. You will feel more creative. You'll feel more supported that way. If you are an artist, if you are a creator in any way, this is a great year for creating content, for audition, you know, do those auditions, write your book, do your course, get the songs done, you know, record your album, whatever it is that that is, this is really supportive energy for that. And the 3, when you experience it, I always say, when you're laughing, you're learning. So it really is a time to tap into your, what brings you pleasure? What makes you feel good? You know, when do you feel more youthful and childlike and optimistic, and do more of that? So of course, what could possibly go wrong when you've got all this great lively energy around you? Well, in numerology, we're always looking at that optimal element or aspect to it. And then there's going to be the undertow or the kind of opposing forces here. So what can often happen in a 3 is that you will be served up all of your emotional trauma on a silver platter.
Mm.
What the 3 is asking you to do is to speak your truth, asking you to refine and define your communication with yourself and others. And often this comes with some emotional healing in some way. So it can be an up and down emotionally year. If someone is prone to depression or something like that, it can kind of ebb in and out in a 3 personal year. And as long as there's an awareness around that, about moving through it and moving with it and experiencing the emotions, but not holding them and, you know, allowing them to move in and through you and out. And then usually those experiences are actually going to be what you use to create with, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense for you overall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What I love about that is it's so interesting because it's like one side is so much joy and pleasure and fun, and the other side is emotions, healing, and possible depression.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah,
like learning to flow with it and also learning to be an intentional creator, because that's why everybody's personal energy is not all created equally, because you get to choose. You get to choose how you're going to navigate that energy. But it is so helpful to me once I found this tool to understand what the energy of the year is, because I feel like if you know, it's kind of more like a roadmap,
mm-hmm,
instead of just getting whipped around by the year. That's kind of how I feel, right?
Absolutely. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, crying uncle. What is that when you're, you know, Remember when you're kids and someone would tackle you down, you're like, uncle, you know, let me go is what it is. And that is what I think is so powerful about this. And it can give us really a wonderful container for that. And also to me, it really is a matter of even just having the words to understand what's happening and to come back to, right? So if I'm experiencing a particular personal year, and I'll just come up with like my keywords for the year. And so like with you, you could come back to when you're feeling a little shaky, come back to expression, mm-hmm. creation, pleasure, those things that you've got, that's what I need to keep aligning with. Mm-hmm. And then every time we do, we actually feel better, right? That's the ultimate barometer. I mean, is how do you feel? Your mind, body, and spirit is going to respond to when you're moving in the flow of it and when you're in alignment, so to speak, with what's going on. Because if you then, very briefly, next year, a four personal year is about implementation. So what you create in a three personal year, you're going to wake up next year and go, oh, holy crap, this feels more serious this year. This feels like I kind of got to get my ducks in a row, got to get it together. And it's almost like you take your file folder out and put it on the table and go, okay, I got to review my life's business plan. Let's take a look. What is expired? What isn't, right? And it's doing that. It's about systematizing things, setting things up, implementation, getting things in a row, figuring out your kind of longer range goals in a four personal year. What are the caveats during that year? Limitation. There's just going to be things that don't go right. There's going to be things that take a longer period of time. There's going to be frustrations, all of that. It can be very work focused. So you also have to learn to take breaks seriously in a four personal year. The five personal year is after you get all that stuff implemented and get everything structured and the foundations, then you have something to stand on for a year of change, freedom. So freedom is what the five personal year is all about, investigating your levels of freedom, what's working for you, what isn't. And it's a time where there will be changes during a five personal year. It's a great year for getting your sexy back because the five is all about sensuality and that sort of thing. And it's a great time for travel. So it's one of those things as well, is if you're, you know, looking at the numerology and you're like, oh, I'm getting these, you know, all these offers to travel, but I just don't think I can. And you're like, no, wait a minute, step back. This is really in alignment for the year. And this will be what moves the needle for you. Because again, the opposing force there is fear, mm-hmm. feeling really confined, restricted, feeling like, you know, the life is being smothered out of you somehow, those sorts of things. But the fear is going to come up into play. The next year is more, you know, the five was all about the changes and all about that sort of thing. Well, the six is kind of getting back to your responsibilities. Let's put it that way. Home, family, the domestic world, responsibilities, kind of marriage and divorce year. It can be a time where relationships are taken to the next level or they're like, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. The seven personal year is a time of rest. But it never feels like rest. It always feels like there's so much going on because
you lay in your bed and cry. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Yeah, really no, but you're laying in your bed and kind of sucking your thumb, you know, because it can bring in all of those things. Again, vital pause. It's a spiritually probing, spiritually seeking year. We've talked a lot about the seven, so you can apply that to the seven personal year. The eight is the beginning of what I consider to be a three-year push time, three-year transition cycle. The eight in numerology is about money. It is about power. It is about authority, all of those very real world energies and things in life. Very career-oriented year. Any missing link or weak link in your life at that point where you are disempowered, this can be in relationships, it can be in your work life, it can be in your spiritual life, your anything or all of the above, it will kick your butt. It is like boot camp. It is tough love. So if you're in your eight and you feel like you're being annihilated, well, step up or get stepped on. I mean, basically that is what the eight is saying. And it's saying it with that kind of boot camp, tough love. You know, you think that your boot camp guy hates you, but you, at the end of the day, at the end, they're like, man, I knew you were great, but I just had to be the toughest on you because I knew you wouldn't really succeed and excel unless you really were put through the ringer. So that is one of the things that happens in the eight personal year. And I don't want it to sound terrifying because it's not. It's a reap as you've sown year. Mm-hmm. And it's often a time where you can reap the benefits of the hard work you've been putting in. You can gain levels of respect, authority, but it still takes your pretty tenacious effort and energy to do it. After that year, you move into the number nine. That is the end of a cycle. It is like graduation. It's like commencement. And yet it is more about surrendering, letting go. And surrender doesn't mean that you just, you know, throw in the towel and again, lie there, you know, waiting to be buried. I mean, it really is a matter of simply, if you use the metaphor of you've been in the eight personal year, you're paddling, 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 paddling in your canoe, right? To get somewhere. In the nine personal year, you take the paddles, put them in the boat, and you just go with the flow. And that river is going to take you exactly where you need to end up. And so it's that trust factor that goes with that. But that can be a very challenging year for all of us who go through it, because it's a time where the universe says, you know what, you don't need that anymore. That is, you know, actually impeding your progress. It's a review year where you're looking at what's working for me, what isn't, what's outgrown its space in my life. It can be relationships. It can be a time where people, you know, where their relationship goes away, where they get fired from their job that they've hated. That's the irony. It's like, oh, I've been wanting to get a divorce for years and your spouse finally gives you the papers and you have a meltdown. And it's like, wait a minute, I've been wanting this for so long. Yeah. Right. And it's the same. It's like, I hate this job. It's like you get a migraine every time you go into the office and finally, and then, you know, you walk in one day and they give you your walking papers and you're totally pissed. Mm-hmm. And panicked and you don't know what you're going to do. And yet it's the door opening for you. So those are the things that happen in a nine. It just doesn't feel like all jazz hands when it's happening. And yet it is jazz hands because you, when you go out the other side, it's going to take you into a bigger, better place, basically. All right.
So then, what a great way to look at that.
And it is the truth. So it's just, you have to remind yourself consistently when you're in it, that's the point. And it's the point where things, where the tide is out, not in. So it's not a time to start things. It's a time to finish them, mm-hmm. right? To complete them. The next year is a one, new beginnings, brand new cycle. The one is as it sounds. It is you're writing the new chapter for your new book. So it's going to be new starts, new beginnings, all that goes with that. And then after that, the two personal year is kind of meant as a little bit of a respite for those in their two personal year. The two is about love, relationships, patience. It's more of a time where you've been working and doing all these transitions from the eight, nine into one. And now you get to kind of watch to see what grows, to use the metaphor, if you've been planting the seeds. So let's see what grows and how they're going to grow. So during a two personal year, it's not like you, again, just sit around in hover mode. And yet there'll be times when you're out there watering and weeding and doing all the things that you need to do. And yet, what do you do when you're waiting for it to grow? Well, and when you're waiting for it to grow in a two personal year, you're tending to others. You're tending to your relationship life. It can be a time where you know, if you're single and ready to mingle, you can meet a significant other. You can get married. You could have children. You could, all of the things that are related to the two. It's a great time for networking. If you're, business or looking for another job or strengthening that, it's really a time after that one personal year in the two where you're really solidifying your new tribe. Like, who do you really want in your circle? And it's a time to really devote on yourself to feeding that with your time and energy and heart. So That's the 9-year cycle. Now we're back to the 3 where we started.
Yeah. So what Felicia just did is she just went through my personal years. And so you could kind of make a correlation because I'm in a 3 this year. So she went from 3 all the way back full circle. And so to recap here, because I know you and I love this stuff and we can totally talk shop. But to recap, we're talking about 2 different layers here. There's the universal year, which is 2023 for every human on the planet. They are going to be feeling the energy of the 7, which is what we're in this year. And it goes in order. So you go from 7, next year will be an 8, the next year will be a 9, and then you start back over at 1. So correct. Like Felicia said, you always just take the current year and add up all those numbers. So 2023, 2024, and so on. And then that's the energy that you're in. So you can always, you know, look up, you can go on Felicia's website. You have such great information on your website. I go there every month to look at my monthly forecast. I love that so much. That's so fun. So you can go on her website, FeliciaBender.com. We'll put it in the show notes and look up. It's kind of like looking up your horoscope, navigating the energy of that. But I always pay attention to if there's a negative undertow. I don't go to that person because I love how yours is very fun. It's very, and it's not just rainbows and butterflies. You do, you know, tell it like it is, but it doesn't give me that, oh my gosh, this month, brace yourself because, you know, this is going to happen. Because then as a creator, you don't want to plant seeds of negativity. And so I love that about yours. But then we are also talking about the personal year. And that is for each individual, you have your own personal year. So you take your month, your day, and then the current year, add those all up, reduce it to a single digit, and that's going to be your personal year. So fun.
Correct. I love yes. it. Yes. And once again, that personal year, I just have to throw one teeny tiny other bit of information, not to overwhelm or or complicate it. And yet, just like every other ology, numerology is no different in terms of there are different schools of thought about aspects of numerology. The timing in terms of the personal year is one of those. So there are 2 basic schools of thought about the personal year and how it plays out or how it runs. The first one is that your personal year that we just calculated with the month, the day, and then the current year altogether can run or does run from January 1st through December 31st of any given year. I also would say that I feel that energy that is related to your personal year is more intense or intensifies around your birthday time. And then it also peaks in September. So those are, you know, again, we can get much more nuanced about things. And yet that is January 1st to December 31st runs through the year. And there is another school of thought that it is more like a solar return if you're astrologically inclined. So it's more like going from birthday to birthday is where your personal year, how it runs.
Okay.
So I write my forecasts and I consider the personal year in my personal way that I do it is that it is from January 1st through December 31st. To me, it simply makes more sense in terms of the mathematics of it, first of all. And second of all, I have to tell you, and I'm not kidding, I have felt it out. Like I have thought about it with when I'm experiencing my own personal years. I'm like, oh, well, if it were from my birthday to that, how does that play out for me? It just depends on how you feel about it and what works for you. So I consider it to go just the yearly, and some people consider it to go from birthday to birthday. So yeah. It's funny though, because you think about it, I think about my astrology, for instance, or Vedic astrology. I'm a totally different sun sign, you know, in Vedic astrology than I am. Or even my astrology now, I'm born on the 22nd of a month and I'm, you know, considered a cusp. Some astrologers consider me a Leo. And I consider myself a Cancer. I'm July 22nd. So, you know, even in some of those most basic elements of astrology, you still have to make a decision. You have to make a personal decision about that. So I just want to be really upfront about that because a lot of people get cantankerous about it. And I just want to say, hey, sorry, but here are the two schools of thought and it's up to you. It's up to you to figure, just like everything, everything.
You have to go within and feel what feels right to you, which is what so many people have been so out of touch with. And I feel like this universal shift that we're going through is really bringing people back to like, hey, what do you think? How do you feel? You know, go within to get your answers. It reminds me though, what you're talking about, Felicia, it reminds me of feng shui because I am a feng shui consultant. I got my certification. And when I was studying feng shui, I mean, there are so many different schools of thought. You know, you can have one feng shui practitioner come into your home and then someone come behind them and they can be very different ideas. And at the end of the day, I always would tell my clients, like, you have to go, how does this feel for me? Because it really is studying the energy of how you feel in your space. And so it's like that, you know, whatever feels right to you. But as you were going through those personal years and the energy of it, I was literally like calculating. I hope I wasn't giving you RBF because I was literally calculating in my mind, like, okay, what year was that? But I thought about something, and that is the year 2000 for me was the year that I went through just one of the hardest years of my life, for sure. And that was a 7 for me. It was a year of my divorce. It was such a huge turning point for me. But I don't want to villainize the 7, you guys. I want to speak to that for a minute because I don't want people doing their calculations and going, oh no, I'm in a 7. Because I have to tell you, just like Felicia said, you know, with a 9 year, you were saying that, you know, later you go into that job that you hated and you get laid off. And in the moment you are so scared or upset. And it really does come down to fear, usually with everything, that we're just afraid in that moment of that change. But looking back on 2000, that year, I thank God for that year. It was such an important year for my life. And it was a huge, huge turning point. When you know you're going through a lot, taking care of yourself and really being there to nurture yourself when you're going through some hard times, but not going into it going, oh no, what's going to happen this year? And for the record, not every time I've gone through a 7 has someone significant in my life passed away. That's important to know too.
Very good to know. No, seriously. And, you know, just because you're going through a 9 personal year doesn't mean that, you know, that it will just absolutely wreak havoc in this horrific way. Those in the 9 personal year also, I will always say this is a year for those in their 9 personal year, because it gets a bad rap. You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm so scared. You know, I have clients to call and I'm like, okay, calm down, just talk you down. I'm going to talk you down, talk you off the ledge. And because truly it is a time where dreams can come true. When someone is truly madly and deeply ready, willing, and able to let go of what is no longer serving a positive function. I've told this story because it's a true story and it's dramatic and yet it's true. And so I'll tell it anyway, just as a point of illustration, I suppose. So I was teaching a workshop years ago. We were talking about the personal years and there was a woman, she must have been in her later 50s. And we were talking about personal years. And I said, okay, so who's in their 9? We did all the calculations. She raised her hand. And I said, okay, she was the only one. And I said, so how's, you know, I was kind of fearful, a little trepidatious. I said, so how's that going for you? She was like, oh my gosh. And I was bracing myself, you know? She said, this is the best year of my life. I said, wow, okay. Like, tell me more. She said, I finally got a divorce after years of wanting to get a divorce. My son graduated college. He got a job. We just moved him into his new place. He's all set. He's secure. Everything is great. We sold our house, everything else with the divorce. I moved from wherever she was, and I just moved here where I was giving the workshop. And she said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what my next, you know, she had no job at that point. She had quit her job, and she was transitioning and moving and getting settled in. And she said, and I cannot tell you how absolutely overjoyed I am. I have no idea what's next, and I'm just ready for it. I'm like, wow, that is the poster child of the positive of the nine. And again, I don't want to say if you're in a nine personal year, all of those things are going to happen to you, right? Or that you're going to court all of those things happening. Because even if you look at it on a very basic level, she was experiencing everything that any physician or psychiatrist would tell you are the most stressful things, you know, divorce, moving, you know, all of those things. And all of it.
Wow.
All of it. And she was, I'm sure there were mornings that she got up in tears. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there were moments when she was like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How is this? And yet overall, she knew that this was what she wanted. And that in order to create the what's next, she had to let go of the what was.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't commingle them. That is the thing about the nine. You can't hold on to something and then right before you release it, bring that new thing in on top of it and then release it. So you feel this sense of clarity, safety, It will never happen in a nine. You always have to hang around in that liminal space where you let something go and then it recalibrates for you to be ready for the next influx with your life. But those are the scary parts. And that's when people want to just hang on for dear life. All right, I'm going to stay with this because it's a known bad thing, but at least it's something that I know that's bad. And rather than testing out what if, you know, maybe what's next is even more horrible, you know, every fear-filled thought that we could possibly have. So, but the nine is really opening doors for new possibilities.
It sounds like it's teaching you trust and faith.
Lots of trust falls in that nine personal year. And again, it's more about really envisioning and feeling into the tide being out rather than in.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you have to stand there and see what comes to you, rather than constantly be reaching and grabbing outward during that year. The reaching and grabbing happens in your eight, where you go after it.
Okay.
And then in the nine, you stand still and then you see how, you know, what is going to come and knock at your door as your invitation or your opportunity.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm so curious as to what your personal year is this year.
It's a nine.
Oh, because I was thinking about like people that are in this seven universal year and they're in a seven personal year or a nine personal year. And I wanted to give them all a hug.
group hug.
A hug right now, honey.
Group hug. That's what we're going to do. I'm all for the group hug. I really, really am. I'm not joking about that because it is. And I have the benefit of the numerology knowledge that I feel like I've got to put my money where my mouth is at this point. and go, okay, how's that working for you, Felicia? You've got all this information. Now, are you going to be the practical numerologist? And are you going to use it in a practical way? And I think I am, but it doesn't alleviate the transitions, you know, yeah.
the ups, the downs.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So just a little teaser for what to expect for next year. It's funny because anytime I ask anyone that studies energy and I talk about 2024 or I even just mention it, I just get this little giggle like you just gave, this little giggle like of, oh my gosh, just wait because you don't even know. So I'm really like curious about 2024. What do you think?
2024. Well, again, when we begin to understand those basic defining qualities of each of the numbers in numerology, if it resonates with you and you geek out a little bit on it, you just begin to understand what the numbers 1 through 9 bring to the mix, bring to the table anytime they show up, right? You begin to see how to plug it in some ways. So as we talked about with those personal years, we can apply that same information to the universal years because it is a cycle of time. We just, again, begin to look at it in as, okay, well, rather than it being, you know, something that is going to affect me personally through my personal year, it's the same energy, but it's for everyone. So everyone gets to be in the 8 next year. And remember what I said, this year is that, you know, that pausing time, that processing time, the time to do the research, do all of that. And next year is the beginning of a 3-year push time for all of us globally and universally. The astrology matches up with this perfectly. I love knowing both the astrology and the numerology here because it really does speak to the same currents that are happening.
They weave together, don't they? Beautifully.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you really can't make it up. Like you could try, I guess, but it's like, there's just no way to make it up in terms of how many of the similar themes that they have together. So the numerology of 2024 is that this is it's going to be a wake up call for everyone. There's going to be a lot of power struggles, a lot of interesting stuff with our money markets, with our financial institutions, all of those things. I mean, we're beginning to see that right now as we're speaking. They're having debates about the debt ceiling in the United States. If they can't come to an agreement there, that's going to be really interesting. Interesting, to use a neutral term there. And just in terms of financial markets, all of that is going to be a key element. And again, power, control, who's in the driver's seat? How's that going to play out in the 8 personal year or 8 personal year? Well, if it's in your 8 personal year as well, but the 8 universal year. So it is the beginning of a 3-year, again, transition cycle that we are going to be participating in globally. And the emphasis, the point of emphasis is going to be on power, empowerment, and money next year. And then again, if we think a little bit farther down the path, the year later, it's going to be the 9. It's going to be a closure time. Year later, an opening to a new cycle for all of us globally. Mm-hmm. So this is transition. And we also have to keep that in mind. This is a shaking up and shaking out of things. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. What do you make of this time that we're going through as humanity? Like, what do you think is going to happen in our world? I mean, I don't mean like for you to like a crystal ball of like, hey, what's going to happen, right? Because I think we can all feel it. You know, if you don't feel that there's a massive shift happening on our planet and change like you've never seen before, then you must be in a coma or sleepwalking, right? What do you think this is all about?
Well, that's a really good question. We could talk about that for a really long time, couldn't we? Once again, I reference astrology, I reference other things of that nature. I just feel like, again, the planet, Mother Earth is crying and she doesn't need us. We've been pretty unruly children. Mm-hmm. And we've been very rude and we've been very cruel, haven't we? So it's going to be, I mean, and she's going to make us clean up our rooms.
Way to say that.
Yeah. Or whatever, however you want. And I mean that really sincerely, because we are at that point where we've got to figure out that we've been very abusive. Mm-hmm. We've been abusive as a human community to our home and to our earth and to each other. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so if we want to keep doing that, we all can look at the history of war and see how that, you know, just keep battling it out on the battlefield. Let's see what happens, right? We can probably guess what will happen there, or we can reconfigure and figure out different ways of being. Yeah. And I think that's where we are at the, how do we open to different ways of being? And I think we're on an accelerated course of manifestation both ways into, yeah, let's close this down, or yes, let's open this up.
Yeah. Interesting. Pull up your popcorn because
exactly
quite the time. But I think that we all have to take responsibility for our own light and our own journey. And it's so beautiful to see the work that you do and you showing up for people to really look within and understand themselves and go on that healing journey. So thank you for being a part of that.
Well, and you as well. And I find that that is something that we are also all coming into right now, is the idea that really our responsibility is to heal ourselves. It's not to try to change everybody else and not be the one who puts your super cape on and goes in and does all these huge things in life. It comes down to each and every one of us kind of healing ourselves and doing the best we can do in that way, because then the repercussions are just undeniable there. I don't know if I'm saying that properly, but I think you know what I mean.
It makes me think about somebody that I was just talking to, and she was saying how someone can go out and they can be like helping everybody else's kids and like you wanting to save the world. Meanwhile, their child's at home, depressed and sad and lonely and feeling all alone on the sofa. And the mom doesn't even realize because she's out there focused on so many other people. I mean, we can all kind of understand and feel that in our core, because it's a valid goal to go out and want to save the world, but you have to start on the micro scale first. What's going on within your four walls?
Yeah.
If you're empty or if your family's empty, then you got to fill that up first. And then you can go from there. But yeah, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell everyone how they can get in touch with you and what do you have going on these days? Like, how can they find you?
Best way to find all things numerology, if you're numerology curious at all, go to FeliciaBender.com. And again, like you were mentioning, there's a monthly forecast, lots of free resources there, life path information. There's a calculator for that. There's a calculator for that personal year. If you're unsure after this podcast, you're like, I'm not sure if I added that up right. So you can go take a look there. I do offer everything from private sessions to online courses to, I also offer a certification program and a numerology for entrepreneurs program. So just different ways to use this really fantastic, you know, art and science of numerology to make your life better on every realm.
I did a reading with Felicia and it was awesome. So great. So insightful. So I definitely recommend people go to her website and get a personal reading, start there. Or if you want to get certified, that's awesome too. That's something I would love to do one day in my free time.
Maybe in all your free time.
Maybe in my three personal year might be a good time. I don't know. We'll talk about
I was going to say something about when you're 90, but even then it's not going to be, it's not there. You won't have free time. You're one of those people. It's like, you know, and when I'm 90, I'm just getting started.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Okay. So we'll end with the last thing I want to ask you is if you can tell people anything right now, what is your message to them? What's your message to the world right now?
Oh, the message for this year, for the universal year, is slow down. slow down and really question your reactions, because it's a year to really investigate our reactivity. So it's kind of that, what if that didn't mean what I thought it meant? Right? That sort of thing. So, yep.
Wow.
Get back and take a moment.
So good. So good. Oh my goodness. Okay. Thank you so much for being on here with me today. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you, and I just adore you. And thank you for taking the time to give us this powerful information.
Thank you. And I love seeing you and love touching base with you. So thank you.
You got to promise you'll be back on again.
Oh, we'll be back. Probably maybe end of the year. So we can kind of, you know, we can prime the pump for that 8 universal year.
That would be good. That would be really good. Let's do it. So everybody look forward to that. All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And I will see you next week. Have a fabulous one. Bye for now.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.